Former NBA head coach Stan Van Gundy, most recently with the Pistons, joins us on the program. Stan, Jason, Robin, and Brian, what's going on, my man?
Not a whole lot. What's up with you guys?
You know, just doing the same old thing. Listen, everybody's got a reaction to Boogie Cousins landing with the Warriors among all these moves here in free agency. What was your reaction when you saw the Boogie Cousins move last night?
Well, I thought it was really interesting. Thought it was a pretty good move for him because, you know, he's going to play. First of all, he's going to not be rushed back on his injury. They obviously can hold the fort pretty darn well without him. He gets time to come back with his injury, and then people are going to get a chance to see him play deep into the playoffs. And it's been a fact in our league that when you're with a team like that, people's estimation of you goes up. I think he'll be looked at in a different light and put him in position for a big contract next year when a lot more teams have money than what they had this year. So I thought for him it was a good move. From a basketball perspective, I think it's interesting because he's a guy that, to me, to really be effective, needs the ball, and I don't know how much they're going to want to give him the ball. So I'll be interested to watch that on a from a basketball perspective.
We're chatting with former NBA head coach Stan Van Gundy. Hey, Coach, just being in the league for so long and having the opportunity to coach against these Warriors, just how good are they historically?
They're as good as anybody that's ever played in the league. You know, I mean, the only team in recent vintage or relatively recent vintage that you could even compare with them would be Jordan's Bulls teams that won six and only didn't win in the 2 years where he didn't play full season. So that would be the only one that is close. I actually think, you know, the closest team to them might be Houston's team now. So really interesting. I mean, the Houston and Golden State, I think, have emerged as the rivalry that people are interested in, and both are probably among the elite teams of all time.
Going back to something you said about Boogie Cousins, does he need Golden State Warriors, not just for the ring, but like you said, he's a guy that needs to touch the ball, and on this team, he might get off maybe five shots a night. Does he need this team to prove to the rest of the league that he is an unselfish player?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's funny. For all the numbers he's put up, he really hasn't gotten the respect that he deserves as a player. I mean, this guy's a great, great player, a virtually unstoppable. He can't be guarded by centers on the perimeter. Smaller guys have no chance against him down low. He rebounds the ball. Not a great defender, but on the offensive end of the floor, he's outstanding. And so, you know, we read all these things and hear all these things about him, a lot of them in a negative light. But as somebody coaching against him, you just don't have any knowledge of that. What you have knowledge of is, damn, this guy's hard to stop. So he's an outstanding talent. Now, whether he's going to get to show that with the Warriors, I don't know. And I do think if they win, especially if they win another championship, he will be viewed in a more positive light no matter what he does, quite honestly.
Former NBA head coach Stan Van Gundy joining us on SB Nation. How about the idea of this being bad for the league? You know, I've seen so many people on Twitter banging on this move, talking about the, you know, the devastating impact this has on the league, the idea that essentially the NBA's, you know, championship has already been decided for next season. Talk to me about that aspect of this move. I mean, have we gotten to a point, a tipping point here where really we're kind of beyond it, that there really is nobody that can compete with this team if we're talking about a seven-game series?
Well, I think Houston can still. But look, they are, you know, over the last 4 years and certainly headed into next year. I mean, they're the odds-on favorite. And you know, I, as far as it's good for the league, Jason, look, I mean, the league and the Players Association, when they do their collective bargaining agreements, set up rules. I will say this. We have not been a league that has been really interested in parity. The NFL is interested in parity. Their rules show that they're interested in parity. But I'm not sure the American sports fan is necessarily interested in parity. So, yeah, you get people complaining about it, but the NBA's ratings continue to be great. Nobody seems to worry about the money the Red Sox and the Yankees are spending. They got great ratings on those baseball games over the weekend. I think the American sports fans love the dynasties. They love the fact that people have to try to do what they can to challenge them. And so I think if you ask Adam Silver, he'd be pretty happy with the way things are going. If the league wanted more parity and wanted to give a chance to everybody across the board, there are things that they could do. The league can't do it on their own, though. I mean, they'd need the help of the Players Association in the rules, but there are things that could be done.
We're chatting with former NBA head coach Stan Van Gundy. And, Coach, just piggybacking off something you just said right there, you coaching in Detroit, not one of the destination markets for NBA superstars, of course. How tough was it for you there? I mean, you guys made the big trade at the deadline to acquire Blake Griffin, but how tough is it to compete in places like Detroit and Milwaukee with these teams that have more destination qualities to them in terms of where stars want to play?
Well, look, I mean, it's always going to be a challenge, and it's always going to be a little bit easier in the cities that, you know, young players find more desirable. It's always going to be a little bit easier, but there's still ways around that. Look, San Antonio is not the place that everybody's sitting there saying that they want to live, and they've been able to do a hell of a job. I think we've seen Oklahoma City be very, very good. Houston's a nice city. My brother lives there, but I don't think it's at the top of the list of a lot of guys' places to live, free agents. I think it's more on the coast, L.A., San Francisco, Miami, places like that. And so teams have been able to find ways to do it. But it is a little bit tougher. I mean, the Lakers, look, if the Lakers were still in Minneapolis, LeBron wouldn't be going there right now, and they'd be in a lot of trouble. So it is easier in certain places.
So Boogie Cousins is chasing a ring. Paul George wanted the money. What do you think LeBron James wants?
You know, it's interesting. I have no idea, but the guy has been, in my mind, I think he's the best player that's ever played in this league. I think what he's done in his career is astounding, and especially playing in 8 straight finals, 4 with Miami, 4 with Cleveland, is incredible. I have no idea what LeBron wanted or was at the top of his priority list when he made the move, but I did read where Dwayne Wade, who's a close friend of his, said he thought it was more about lifestyle and family this time around. He already had a house in L.A. So it may be that decision that this is where we want to live. And he's brought a lot back to his hometown, his home area in Cleveland, but that carries a lot of pressure playing in front of the home crowd all the time, too. And he wanted a little bit of release from that pressure and to go to a place where maybe people would appreciate it more, not take it for granted.
Stan, are you surprised that Philadelphia didn't do more here so far?
I think they were smart. I mean, my guess is that, you know, they had, even if they didn't get meetings, that they made overtures to all the right people, and things just didn't work out. I mean, they weren't able to convince LeBron to come, and then Paul George re-signed, and, with Embiid, they weren't going to be interested in Cousins. I think they probably wisely decided, let's not just spend our money just to spend it. The interesting thing to me with Philadelphia will be, and people really, don't look at the bench a lot, but two guys who made big, big contributions to them, Marco Bellinelli and Ersan Ilyasova.
Yeah, Ilyasova's a loss.
Yeah, both those guys are big losses, huge bench performers for those guys. How are they going to replace those two guys. They got Redick back, which was huge. I didn't think he got nearly the credit he deserved on that team. But those two guys are going to be big, big losses. And where do they go with their bench now without those guys? I think that's an interesting one.
We're talking with former NBA head coach Stan Van Gundy right here on SB Nation Radio. Hey, Coach, just getting back to something you were mentioning, LeBron James. I mean, you guys, of course, beat them in a couple playoff series when you were with Orlando. What was the key for you guys to slowing down LeBron James? I know you guys had a great team, but what was the big game plan, sort of, so to speak, going into that series?
Well, we only beat him once. Mm-hmm. We only played him once, but we only beat him once. And then we played him once when I was here in Detroit in the playoffs, and they swept us. And we didn't slow him down at all when I was in Orlando. I think he averaged 36 in that six game series. So our team beat their team, but we really weren't able to slow him down. Look, our game plan at that time with the team we had on him and been pretty consistent with the way we played him, even when he was in Miami, is, you know, we were going to try to play him one on one as much as possible. We knew that would lead to a lot of scoring. But in my mind, when you have LeBron's going to score no matter what you do, and then when you give him opportunities to create shots for other people on top of it, then their team becomes almost impossible to beat. So I know one time when I was in Orlando, he had 50 against us, and we won. You know, and so that was more of, if you even call that a plan, it wasn't to let him get his. We tried to play him the best we could, but we didn't want to run two guys at him all the time and have him spraying the ball all over the floor to shooters, hitting guys rolling to the basket, all of that, that we were going to try to play him straight up as much as we could. I mean, what's happened with him, you know, and it's amazing to me, is the guys continued to get better. I mean, this might have been his best season in a long, long time, and he has shot the ball. He shot the ball so well that a lot of the strategies that worked back then, you know, when we were able to beat them in 2009, wouldn't work today.
Coach, got about a minute to work with here, but if the Celtics are not the best team in the East now, who is?
Well, I think it'll be a little more open than that. I mean, they are certainly the favorites, but I also think, you know, Toronto is going to be very, very good. Look, Toronto just couldn't get past Cleveland. That obviously becomes a lot easier right now. I think Milwaukee and Philadelphia are both really, really good teams. So I think there's going to be a lot of competition in the East. LeBron leaving really, you know, it was sort of the final seismic shift of power to the West. The West has been better anyway. Now it's, you know, what I worry about is the East becoming almost irrelevant to NBA fans.
Stan, I got to ask you this. Do you plan to coach again? I mean, I remember talking to you a few years ago. We did a podcast together, and I kind of always felt like Detroit, how whenever it ended, was going to be sort of the last job for you. But I get the sense you still might want to coach. What do you want to do?
You know, I really don't know right now. I felt like, and have felt over the past 4 years, that is, you know, however long the Detroit job lasted, I'd stay with it, and then whenever it was over, that would be it. But you know, when you're thinking about that, you expect or hope for anyway a better ending. I didn't like the way we ended up. And so if there were another opportunity out there that I felt was good, I might give it a shot. But I'm only 2 months out from, not even quite 2 months out from being fired. I may get into this whole gig and realize how much fun it is to be retired and spending time on the water and spending time with my wife and traveling and all of that, to where you could talk to me at this time next year, and I might say, you know what, hell no, I'm not coaching again. So I don't know where it's all going to go.
All right, that's Coach Stan Van Gundy. Coach, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Glad to do it.